The Adventures of Captain Pump, Book 3 by Smell-A-Rat.
Captain Pump, Captain Pump, he saves the day the healthy way. Captain Pump, he'll help you run, jump and break, and he always knows just what to say.
Chapter 1. Am I dreaming?
In Pumpland?
Hello. Sorry, the door was open, so I let myself in.
Captain Pump lights up like a Christmas tree.
It's you,
he replies.
It's really you. I've been waiting a long time for this moment. I can't believe it's finally happening,
says a giddy Captain Pump.
A dark shadow bounces off the moonlit wall. The kind and gentle voice suddenly turns to a terrifying and demonic one.
Yes, it is happening, you fitness freak. Your time has come.
Stepping out of the shadow is the evil one himself, Freddy Fudge, storming towards the captain's throat, when at the same moment, at the Carrot headquarters, Captain Pump springs from his bed all out of breath. His superhero dog, Pupster, barks in fright.
It's okay, puppy. It was just a bad dream, says a disappointed yet relieved captain.
The monitor at the captain's desk lights up and his CP watch flashes yellow.
Now what?
He says to himself. Captain Pump sits at his CP control desk, looking into the monitor, tuning into the real world.
Chapter 2. To Zoo It May Concern. In the real world,
students line up outside of a bright yellow school bus for today's city zoo field trip. Mr. Blunt arrives in a safari hat, while Ashley makes sure the kids all have a lunch. George, dressed in his Sunday overalls, ushers the kids aboard.
Thanks for inviting me along. You know, I have never been to the zoo before, says George.
It's going to be fun. I'm glad you're coming along, answers Ashley.
In their seats, Nathan and Emma compare what their moms gave them for snacks.
What did you get?
Asks Emma. I got a fresh fruit salad mixed with plain yogurt and pumpkin seeds and, of course, my shake, says Nathan.
That sounds gross, says Emma.
What do you mean? It's good for you, and it tastes amazing. It's a great snack, answers Nathan. What did you get?
I got some chips, a chocolate bar, and a juice box, says Emma.
Nathan shakes his head.
Eating all that sugar will put you to sleep.
No, it won't. Besides, I like it,
she answers.
Suit yourself.
But that won't help you pass the fitness test, says Nathan.
At the end of the line, Guido and Myron are standing waiting to get on the bus when Mr. Blunt approaches them.
Do you two have your signed permission slips from your parents to go on the field trip?
Asks Mr. Blunt.
Yeah, but I forgot mine in my locker, says Guido.
Me too, adds Myron.
Well, you better go and get them. The bus leaves in 10 minutes.
The two hurry off into the school.
What are we going to do? We don't have permission slips, says Myron.
Come on, I have an idea, says Guido.
The two rush down the hall to their lockers. Guido shuffles through his locker as time keeps ticking.
Hurry or we'll miss the bus, worries Myron.
Here it is.
Guido finds a scrunched up note from his mom in the bottom of his locker that reads, Please excuse Guido for doctor.
All we have to do is fix a few things on this and we're good to go.
Doesn't Mr. Blunt know what our writing looks like?
Asks Myron.
Yeah, you're right. So you write mine and I'll write yours.
Cool. You're a genius, Guido.
I know. Quick, we have to move fast.
Outside, Mr. Blunt checks his watch, then makes an announcement.
The bus is leaving in 5 minutes.
Guido and Myron run to the empty teacher's lounge. Guido quickly jumps on a computer while Myron heads to the printer. They both grab a marker and scribble away on each other's printed paper. With time running out, they quickly run back to the bus with their newly designed permission slips. Just as the last students pile on, Guido and Myron hand their homemade permission slips to Mr. Blunt. He reads aloud.
Please excuse Guido for zoo.
And then,
please excuse Myron for zoo.
Mr. Blunt takes a second and studies the notes. Guido and Myron grow anxious. Then Mr. Blunt looks up over his glasses and says,
Very good, boys. Climb aboard.
Guido and Myron quickly funnel onto the bus, exchanging a smirk. When Miss Barklot appears at the front of the bus, George sits next to Ashley.
I am sorry, Mr. Basler, but there has been a change in chaperone duty. My assistant, Miss Knotts, will be taking your place.
The boiler is leaking again, and you need to fix it.
Ashley and George exchange a disappointed look.
Yes, Miss Barkalot,
says the janitor as he sadly climbs off the bus.
Miss Barkalot addresses the students.
Kids, this should be a fun day for everyone, but be forewarned. If you misbehave or fail to listen to your chaperones, there will be severe consequences. Have I made myself clear?
Yes, Miss Barkalot, reply the students in unison.
Now, where is that Miss Knotts?
Miss Barkalot yells,
Miss Knotts!
Coming, coming, she answers.
Miss Knotts, a frazzled, disheveled executive assistant, runs out of the school holding a bunch of supplies. A first aid kit, a small fire extinguisher, a megaphone, and a rope. A life preserver ring hangs from her shoulder as well.
Miss Knotts, the children are going to the local zoo, not a safari in Africa, says Miss Barkalot.
One can never be too careful. Always better to be safe than sorry,
says Miss Knotts as she climbs aboard with all her gear. George sadly waves and watches the bus pull away.
Oh well, back to work,
he mutters as he heads back into the school.
Minutes later, in the boiler room, George is once again hammering away with the wrench when Captain Pump jumps out of the magic comic book from George's back pocket.
George is startled and drops the oil can on his Sunday overalls.
Can't you find a different way to show up? These are my Sunday overalls, after all,
says the irritated custodian.
Oh, sorry. How are they any different than your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday ones?
Sarcastically asks the fitness guru. George ignores the captain's question, focusing on the leaky boiler.
This darn boiler!
I told you, hammering a pipe won't work. Never mind the boiler. Did you see what just happened with Guido and Myron?
Says a concerned Captain Pump.
See what? Asks George. It's pitch black down here. It's hard to see anything.
Guido and Myron made up their own permission slips and forged their parents' signatures to be able to go to the zoo.
They did?
Yes, so you have to go there to make sure they stay out of trouble.
I have to fix this dumb boiler again or else Miss Barkalot will bark at me again.
I have a bad feeling about this trip to the zoo,
says Captain Pump.
Let's just take the kids to Pumpland and show them what they did was wrong.
They know what they did was wrong.
Fine. Between you and Miss Barkalot, I'm going to need a vacation. And I don't even get a paycheck to put up with you, says George.
You'll get over it, says Captain Pump. Besides, you know we can't tell the kids what to do. We can only show them what could happen if they make the wrong choice. But ultimately, the choice is up to them.
That's what scares me, says George.
Don't worry so much. Just make sure you keep that magic comic book on you at all times.
Ha! Look who's worrying now.
I mean it.
It's in my back pocket at all times.
Okay, good.
The captain's watch blinks bright yellow.
Oops, I gotta go.
He disappears into George's back pocket and dives into the magic comic book.
Chapter 3. Time for a swim. In Pumpland. It's a bright and sunny day. Captain Pump flies over Pumpland through the light fluffy clouds surrounded by a clear blue sky. The Cape Fitness fanatic soars over his carrot headquarters, making his way over the CP gym, across the CP farm, over the newly finished eggplant buildings, and finally, the CP school. He waves to the many pumpsters below, then begins to descend towards what appears to be a small pond, until... splash! He pierces the surface of the water, diving through the lily pads and vivid yellow sedge, as a school of one-eyed guppies join him for a swim. The captain continues cutting through the water like a world-class swimmer, leaving the one-eyed guppies behind. The deeper he goes, the deeper the water gets, the more the marine life changes. The fish are bigger, the vegetation is more colorful, and the water turns a dark blue. An oceanic backdrop full of sparkling starfish and bright living coral uncovers a secret underwater world of intrigue and surprise. This is Pumpland's Deep Pond, a magical body of water where nothing is as it seems. Captain Pump continues cutting through the water as more deep sea creatures begin to appear. Starfish, jellyfish, and swordfish flank him to his left, while an eel and a smiling tigerfish swim to his right. The captain turns on the pump power and starts to spin through the water like a corkscrew, leaving the sea creatures behind. He continues to pick up speed until he reaches a coral reef opening to a small tunnel. Outside it is a sign that reads Sharkies straight ahead. The captain slides through the narrow opening and shoots through the tunnel like a torpedo. At the other end of the ocean floor is a fancy cave. A neon sign of electric eels lights up the dark waters.
This is Sharky's, the underwater nightclub of choice. Trendy partygoers pour out of shell-shellacked limousines as two bouncer sharks dressed in black turtlenecks stand at the entrance. A variety of creatures of the sea are on the red carpet behind a gold velvet rope waiting to get in. The captain approaches the shark bouncers. Inside, music is blasting out of blowfish speakers while a scaly and crustaceous crowd of all shapes, colors, and sizes fills the dance floor. On the other side of the club is a beautiful coral reef where an imposing shark sits on a rock-shaped throne. This is Boss Sharky, the boss of the underwater world.
Hello, my friends. My name is Boss Sharky. I'll take you to a world you won't believe. In Pumpland, you don't need a magic wand. Just take a dive right into the deep pond. So swim, swim, you're on your way. Get ready for the big reveal. Look for the sign through Sharky's place. It's lit up by electric eels. I'm a boss, I'm a shark, I'm Boss Sharky. I'm the shark that you will want to see. The underwater world is my domain. So don't forget, Boss Sharky is my name. Yeah, I'm the boss, Boss Sharky.
Captain, there's something I thought you should know about, says Boss Sharky.
He shakes his fin, and in comes a funky-looking octopus with only 7 legs wearing sunglasses. This is Wally the Octopus, one of Boss Sharky's boys.
Wally, tell the captain what you heard.
So I heard from a jellyfish friend that his cousin who knows this guppy, who's good friends with this frog who knows this mongoose, overheard these wise guy rats on the far end of the forest making plans to lift all the prized produce from the CP farm.
Captain Pump gazes intensely at the octopus.
So do these wise guy rats have a name, Wally? Asks the captain.
I don't give names, just information,
answers Wally. You'll make an exception this time, or you might end up losing another leg. Do you understand? Asks Boss Sharky.
Yeah, sure, boss. Whatever you say,
answers a frightened Wally.
It's really the rat in his rat pack, but you didn't hear it from me.
Thanks, Boss Sharky, says Captain Pump.
Please, call me Sharky.
I owe you one.
Yes, you do, Captain.
Smirks the shark.
But everything in due time.
Captain Pump smiles uncomfortably and shoots off, disappearing into the deep waters. Chapter 4. A Zoo, a Broken Boiler, and Rats. Meanwhile, back in the real world, the students cheer as the yellow school bus pulls into the city zoo parking lot. Miss Barkalot stands at the front of the bus.
Settle down, children, and listen carefully. We want you all to have fun and be safe. So always stay in your assigned groups and with your chaperone. There will be no wandering off for any reason. Do I make myself clear?
Yes, Miss Barkalot, answer the students in unison.
We will regroup in 3 hours in the picnic area. Mr. Blunt, Miss Knotts, Miss Johnson, and I will be keeping a close eye on you, so I suggest you follow the rules.
Principal Barkalot stares at Guido and Myron.
Understood.
Guido and Myron nod. The doors fly open. Guido, Myron, Zach, and his jock flock, and the rest of the kids pile off the bus and head towards the zoo entrance. Teacher Ashley Johnson hurries after the group.
Make sure you have your snacks with you. You need energy, don't forget that,
says Ashley.
I wonder how George is doing with that boiler,
she mutters to herself. Meanwhile, back at the school, George is still banging away at the old boiler in the basement of the school.
Stupid boiler. Everyone gets to go to the zoo except me. George, fix this. George, do that. Never, oh, George, thank you for fixing that. Or even, you did a good job. No, that would be too nice,
he says to himself. Suddenly, poof, a drenched Captain Pump flies out of the comic book in George's back pocket, splashing the distraught custodian and soaking his Sunday overalls.
Aw, man, this is the last time I wear my Sunday overalls to work, says George. Oops, sorry, I went for a swim and forgot to towel off,
answers the waterlogged captain.
Stop feeling sorry for yourself.
George grabs his rag, wraps it around the mighty fitness guru, and rolls him up in it like a newspaper.
I'm not feeling sorry for myself.
Well, whatever you call it, stop it. It's not going to change anything.
Hey!
Not so tight,
screams the captain.
Oh, are you having a problem talking?
Says George.
The captain springs free and shakes the excess water off himself, once again getting George wet.
Thanks, I think.
So what is going on here in the real world today, George? I've been a little busy.
Me too. Let's have a look,
answers George as he opens the magic comic book.
Sorry if it's a little soggy,
the captain says sheepishly. Back at the zoo, Mr. Blunt's group of students gather around the monkey cage while Ashley and her group of students take selfies in the exotic bird section. Mr. Svelte walks around with a mason jar and a pair of tweezers looking for a specimen for his next experiment. Trailing behind, Miss Knotts follows Miss Barkalot. Back at the school, George and Captain Pump continue to peer into the magic comic book.
Looks like we may have an easy day today, George. The kids seem like they're all having fun and behaving.
Good, because this boiler needs my attention right now.
The captain takes a closer look at the broken machine.
Give me the wrench, George.
What, you're a plumber now?
No, I'm just smart.
Captain Pump starts moving his hands like a puppeteer, screwing bolts, cutting and soldering the busted pipe. He continues to move his fingers now like a concert pianist.
This is never going to work, says the pessimistic janitor.
Stop being negative. Hand me the torch and watch this,
says the confident captain.
There, that should do it. Turn it on, George,
says Captain Pump.
What a waste of time.
The janitor flicks on the switch, and the old clanky boiler starts to hum like a fine-tuned Ferrari. Captain Pump grins from ear to ear.
You're welcome, George.
The gloating fitness superhero disappears into the pages of the magic comic book. George stands bewildered in front of a working boiler.
He is too much, says George to himself.
No, my friend, I am just enough. Ha ha ha,
answers the captain from deep inside the pages. Meanwhile, back in Pumpland, deep inside the Pumpland forest, along the banks of a stream lies an underground band of greasy, unruly rodents led by the greasiest of all, Rudy the Rat. Buried far beneath the earth, Rudy holds a meeting with his rat pack.
Okay, fellas, here's the plan. The CP farm closes at sundown, so my cousin Chunky is gonna tunnel under this fence over here on the north end. Got it? And then we're gonna make a run for the tomatoes. You rats over here are gonna grab the blueberries off the bush, and you rodents over there are in charge of heisting those prize oranges. And finally, you guys are gonna take the lettuce and the prize mint. We can make a mint from that mint. So everybody knows what they gotta do? Any questions?
Yeah, I got one,
says a rat.
How is Chunky gonna tunnel us through? He's a little big, if you know what I mean.
The rats burst out laughing. Chunky glares with an angry scowl as he crosses his arms and starts pouting.
Hey, that's not nice. He's sensitive. Ain't that right, Chunky?
Says Rudy the rat. Chunky nods in agreement.
For your information, Chunky here used to be a world-class athlete.
Yeah, and what? Pie-eating?
Says one of the rats. Laughter erupts. Some rats guffaw so hysterically they roll on the ground.
Pie-eating!
Okay, that's enough. Leave Chunky alone. Don't let his appearance fool you. Those arms are like propellers. He'll tunnel us through in no time. Make sure you get all the good stuff. I know a few wise guys that will pay top dollar for that prize mint and those tomatoes.
Rudy adds,
tonight we strike and tomorrow we feast.
My name is Rudy the Rat. I got my own rat pack. It's the only way to go. We eat garbage and scraps, and that's a fact. It's the only way we roll. We live beneath the ground.
On the other end of the Pumpland forest, Captain Pump pays a visit to an old friend, the wise porcupine.
Rudy, you used to be a fine rodent,
says the porcupine.
Then he became greedy and power hungry. I think he lacks general direction. He's lost.
Well, lost or not, no one is going to compromise our way of life or steal from us, especially our prized fruits and vegetables.
He's not a bad soul, just a little confused,
adds the wise one. He must learn that stealing gets you nowhere, says the captain.
I agree, captain. Do what you have to do,
says the wise porcupine. Meanwhile, back in the real world, at the city zoo, the students wander through the different animal exhibits. Guido and Myron tag along at the back of the group. Zack and Willow follow behind.
Hey, what are you jocks doing? Stop following us, insists Guido.
We're not following you, you're following us, answers Zack.
Seems to me that the ones doing the following are behind those they are following.
You want to make something out of it?
Threatens Zack.
Anything you want,
answers a defiant Guido.
Fine. You see that tree over there?
Yeah.
Do you see that branch way up there?
Asks Zack.
That one way up there?
Says Guido.
Yeah. First one to climb to it wins.
Guido takes a second to look at the high branch and hesitates.
Are you chicken? Asks Zack.
Guido gets in Zack's face.
Chicken? Me? Never.
So prove it.
Okay, you're toast, jock boy. As the two rivals stand toe-to-toe, a recognizable voice echoes through the zoo.
Attention, attention, all county public school kids must report to the picnic area. It is lunchtime,
announces Miss Barkalot.
After lunch, you're dead meat, says Zack. We'll see about that, jock boy,
answers Guido. Back in Pumpland. While in flight, Captain Pump looks at his CP watch, which is flashing bright yellow. He pulls a quick left turn and heads towards the carrot headquarters. He flies through his window, sits at his control desk, and turns on the real-world monitor just in time to see Guido and Zack with the overhanging branch in the distance. The captain zeroes in on the tree. Taking a closer look, he spots something underneath the overhanging branch. He enlarges the image on the screen and notices something strange. What is that? He says to himself. It looks like some kind of a tail. A bushy tail. He rotates the image, enlarges it a little more, and discovers a lion's pit right underneath the overhanging branch. He rewinds the tape on his real-world recorder and hears Guido and Zack plan this afternoon's challenge. The captain pauses the tape to examine the tree. Wanting a closer look, he enlarges the image on the screen even more. Zooming in, he spots a crack in the big branch that hangs right over the lion's pit. Oh no, says the captain. In a split second, he takes off into the Pumpland sky. Back in the real world, George sits in his broom closet office enjoying some quiet time scrolling through his phone while having a protein shake when, poof, out from the magic comic book pops the captain. Once again, George is startled and spills his shake all over his Sunday overalls.
Oh boy, says George.
George, we have a problem, says the concerned superhero.
Yeah, we do. I'm never wearing my Sunday overalls to work again.
I'm serious. Take a look,
insists the captain. George grabs the magic comic book from his back pocket. The mini captain points out the lion's den and the cracked branch.
Hurry, George. We have to get to the zoo before it's too late.
Okay, I'm ready. All right, let's go. What are you waiting for?
Screams Captain Pump.
Me? You're the one with the magic powers,
answers George.
Yeah, but I don't exist here for anyone else. Just you, remember?
Oh yeah, I forgot. Jeez.
That's why you are my representative here, so take the lead.
George panics and looks at Captain Pump.
But I don't know how!
Yes, you do, George. You have been preparing for this your whole life. And now it's time to become the superhero you were meant to be.
George beams with self-confidence.
Yes, you are right. It is time for me to be a real-world superhero.
Me, a real superhero,
says George proudly.
Yes, but we don't have time to bask in your glory right now.
Well, how are we going to get there?
Asks George.
You don't have a car?
No!
What do you mean, no?
I don't need one. I take the bus.
Well, I guess you'll have to improvise, won't you?
George pauses a minute, then screams,
I have an idea! Follow me!
With a sense of urgency, George takes off running. He rounds the corner of the school while Captain Pump follows along, his CP watch blinking bright red.
Come on, we don't have much time, George!
Screams a worried captain.
I'm going as fast as I can,
replies George. As George reaches the schoolyard, he stops on a dime.
What are you doing?
Yells the captain.
Hold on, let me think,
answers George.
Oh boy,
says the captain. George looks around the schoolyard and points towards the bike rack.
Over there! Captain Pump shakes his head. Are you serious? He asks. Do you have a better idea, Mr. Superhero?
Captain Pump shrugs his shoulders.
Well, I guess we don't have a choice, mutters a disgruntled superhero.
His CP watch continues to blink bright red.
Hurry, George! We are running out of time!
Chapter 5. The Race to the Zoo. Moments later, George zooms down the street on an undersized scooter he borrowed from the schoolyard. Cars pass him by as he putters along, making his way as fast as the scooter will go. Captain Pump sits on the handlebars while George cranks the gas.
Can't this thing go any faster?
Yells the captain.
I am trying. I guess there is too much weight on here. Yeah, I'm really weighing us down,
answers the captain.
Hold on,
yells George. After lunch at the zoo, Guido and the gang head back to the big tree with the overhanging branch. Guido and Zack stand under the tree looking up at their target.
Piece of cake, taunts Zack. Don't count your chickens before they hatch, answers Guido.
Yeah, chickens,
adds Myron. Back on the mean streets, George and Captain Pump continue to move at a snail's pace. The scooter starts to backfire and slows down even more until it comes to a complete stop. George freezes.
George, is it possible we ran out of gas?
Calmly asks the captain.
Yeah, very possible,
George answers.
I would say so, seeing the gas gauge is on empty,
screams a frustrated captain. Back at the city zoo, Guido and Zack get into a start position. Myron and Willow stand by.
First one to make it to the end of the branch wins. Got it? Asks Zack.
I got it, answers Guido.
Willow gives the call.
On your marks, get set, go!
Back on the streets again, George sits rigidly on his scooter in the bed of a pickup truck moving at high speed. Captain Pump continues to sit on the handlebars, looking very intense.
This is much better!
Yells Captain Pump.
Yeah, I hope we make it there in time.
Did you say something, George?
Asks a curious Coach Mo.
Me? No. It must be the wind. Step on it, Coach. We don't have much time.
I'm going as fast as I can, George,
answers Coach Mo, driving the pickup like a sports car.
This is all your fault, Captain. You and your bright ideas, says George. You ran out of gas, George,
Captain Pump reminds him.
You talking to me, George?
Yells Coach Mo from inside the truck.
No, just talking to myself. Step on it.
Okay, okay,
answers the coach. Mo pulls into the zoo parking lot. George jumps out and takes off running. He sprints through the zoo entrance and heads towards the big tree with the overhanging branch. Guido and Zack are climbing the tree.
Hurry, George, we don't have much time,
says Captain Pump, holding on to George's suspenders.
I am running as fast as I can. Glad you're enjoying the ride, says George.
Zack and Guido are getting closer to the branch as they climb higher up the tree. George finally has the boys in sight as they reach for the branch.
Guido! Zack! Get down here, now,
orders George.
Mr. Basner, what are you doing here?
Never mind. What are you two doing is the question. Where is your chaperone? I have a mind to turn you both into Principal Barkalot. Time for a little trip.
George grabs the magic comic book from his back pocket and opens it as Captain Pump dives in. The unsuspecting quartet and George are sucked into its magic pages. The four students start to freefall. Screams Willow.
This is fun!
Yells Zack.
Oh, this is crazy!
Yells Guido.
I am getting dizzy!
Says an upside-down Myron. Captain Pump punches his way through the book, heading towards the back cover until, boom! They all crash through into the fantastical world of Pumpland.
Chapter 6. Next stop, Pumpland. In Pumpland, Captain Pump, George, and the four students stand in the CP Tower control room.
I see you two like climbing things, says Captain Pump to Guido and Zack.
It was just a tree,
answers Zack sarcastically.
Yes, I know it was just a tree, says Captain Pump.
Did you have permission to leave your group? Asks George.
No, we didn't, sir,
answers Willow. Myron and Willow look apologetic while Guido and Zack get defensive.
We didn't do anything wrong,
say Guido and Zack in unison.
Really? It seems to me when you are told not to leave your chaperone and you do, that is doing something wrong, says Captain Pump.
You never know what kind of danger you could get into as well when you don't follow the rules,
adds George.
What danger? We were just climbing a tree, says Guido.
Did you boys see this?
Captain Pump hits play. Guido and Zack appear on the big screen, rushing up the trunk of the tree, hurrying towards the overhanging limb. Myron and Willow cheer from the ground as the boys both grab for the branch when, crack! The branch breaks, immediately sending Guido and Zack tumbling. Captain Pump hits pause.
So we were going to fall. What's the big deal?
Says Zack.
Yeah, what's the big deal?
Echoes Guido. Keep watching, says Captain Pump. He hits the play button once again. The boys continue free-falling and hit hard against a concrete floor far beneath the overhanging branch. As the video continues to play, they can see a pair of lions approach the fallen duo.
Lions!
Say the boys in unison.
Yeah, a pit of lions, says the captain. And you two are in it. Did you see that?
Guido and Zack look like they have just seen a ghost. Willow and Myron stand in shock with their mouths wide open. Zack and Guido look at each other and then to Captain Pump and George.
No, sir, we didn't see that, replies Zack.
I guess we should have stayed with our group,
adds Guido.
Yes, you should always listen to what your teacher or the adult in charge says. They know what is good for you. And more importantly, what will keep you safe,
says George. Not all challenges are worth taking. You have to always look at the big picture, boys, adds Captain Pump.
Just because somebody challenges you doesn't mean you have to accept it,
says George. It doesn't always make you look cool. In fact, sometimes accepting a challenge will make you look like a fool, sternly says the captain. He turns off the big screen. I know how competitive you are with each other, and climbing that tree would have shown who's better in your eyes. But why don't you try this instead?
With a zapperoo whirlwind, Captain Pump, George, and the kids find themselves at the CP gym standing in front of a tall climbing wall.
That's high, says Myron.
It's not higher than the tree you wanted to climb. And there are no lion pits to fall into here, points out Captain Pump.
We can't climb that, says Guido.
Sure you can, says George.
With a little effort, anything is possible, adds the fitness guru. Here, let me show you. Captain Pump gives the kids a climbing lesson. With a little instruction, Guido makes it to the top of the wall with ease. Willow helps Myron, who follows behind, while Zack zooms up the wall like a spider. You see, kids, anything is possible. You just have to believe. And then you will achieve, says Captain Pump.
And always make sure your play area is safe,
says George.
And also follow the rules. My dad used to always say, use your head for something besides a hat rack.
Got it? Asks the captain.
Yes, Captain Pump, I think we understand,
say Guido and Zack.
Oh yeah, and no more made-up notes from your parents.
Got that?
Says a serious captain.
Yes, sir, answered Guido and Myron.
George, it's time to go back to the real world, says the fitness fanatic. George opens the magic comic book and Captain Pump pulls Guido, Myron, Willow, and Zack into the scrolling pages as they tumble through toward the real world. Chapter 7, A Dangerous Climb. Back in the real world. At the city zoo, George and Captain Pump stand out of sight of the big tree. They peer into the magic comic book and watch the scene unfold through the scrolling frames. Guido and Zack find themselves at the same time and place they were before the magic trip. Once again, the boys start climbing the tree just as they did before. The two rivals fiercely climb as fast as they can. Reaching for every inch, sweat drips from their brow. As they grunt their way towards the branch, Willow catches something bizarre out of the corner of her eye. She runs to the guardrail to take a closer look, then quickly realizes the boys are in danger. Far below the overhanging branch is a pair of hungry-looking lions looking straight up at Guido and Zack.
Oh no, she says to herself.
Lions!
She cries out.
Get down, now!
She yells up at the boys. Willow's tone catches Myron's attention.
Get down, both of you, now! There's a lion pit below, says Myron.
What? Yells Zack.
Look down!
Yells Willow. Zack and Guido look down and see the two very hungry-looking lions circling the area below.
Oh boy, let's get down from here, says Zack.
Yeah, I'm with you,
says Guido. The boys carefully climb down the tree.
Phew, that was a close one, says Zack.
Yeah, thanks, Willow.
Okay, now what do we do?
Asks Guido.
I'll race you to the group meeting place, says Zack. You're on, jock boy.
The two competitors take off while Myron and Willow start walking behind.
How are you doing with your training, Myron? The state fitness test is coming up fast,
says Willow.
It's okay, but I have to lose a bit of weight, says Myron.
Well, I can help you with that,
says Willow. Myron looks over at Willow.
Cool.
Well, let's start now. Come on, let's run. I mean, jog it out,
says Willow. Myron and Willow slowly start jogging. Emma and Nathan see them coming towards the group.
Hey, where have you guys been?
asks Emma.
We were just over there looking at the lions,
says Willow.
Yeah, the lions,
adds Myron. Willow and Myron smile at each other as they join the rest of the class.
Meanwhile, at a gas station nearby,
George and Captain Pump breathe a sigh of relief. George pumps gas into the empty scooter.
Wow, that was close.
Yeah, but all is well that ends well, says the captain.
I still have to get this scooter back to school in one piece, or else Miss Knotts will put me in pieces.
Why Miss Knotts? George points at the license plate that reads, Knotts for you.
I see,
says the captain.
Well, it was a great day after all.
Yeah, and Myron even caught the fitness bug too, says George.
Everybody should, George. Remember, we only get one body, so we better take care of it.
Achoo!
Sneezes George.
Sounds like you need to go take care of your body before you catch a cold. Here, take my hanky.
Thanks, but I have my own. Besides, yours is the size of a postage stamp.
Oh, that reminds me. I have a few things to take care of myself.
See you soon, George,
says the captain as he dives into the magic pages.
See you soon, little buddy,
says George as he closes the magic comic book, puts it in his back pocket, hops on the scooter, and heads back towards the county public school. Chapter 8, Rats and More Rats. Back in Pumpland, Captain Pump flies over his vast and beautiful land when his CP watch signals an incoming video message from Boss Sharky. The captain hits play.
I just want to let you know that according to Wally, Rudy and the Rat Pack will strike tonight. Good luck, and remember, you owe me one,
says the shark. Captain Pump makes a U-turn and heads directly towards the CP tower. As he approaches, the top flips open, and the caped muscle man flies in. In the CP tower control room, the captain briefs his pumpster patrol and points at the screen displaying all the fugitive rats. Rudy is front and center.
His name is Rudy the Rat. His plan is to steal our prize fruits and vegetables from the CP farm. He and his rat pack are planning to hit at sundown tonight. We will be ready to defend and keep our CP farm safe.
Meanwhile, deep in the woods at the bottom of the ravine by a stream burrowed underground, Rudy the Rat gives his rat pack last-minute instructions.
Okay, my rotten rats. Make sure you fill your bags. Remember, leave nothing behind except empty trees and vines. And whatever you do, don't forget the mint.
Hours later, at sundown, outside the CP farm on the front of the north gate hangs a closed sign. A stillness fills the Pumpland air as the moon shines softly off the big red barn. Rudy the Rat and his nasty cohorts tiptoe by the fence outside the perimeter of the farm. Rudy the Rat surveys the gardens from outside the fence and spots the beautiful tomato plants, the lush blueberry bushes, the juicy orange trees, and of course, the prize mint plants. Rudy gives the order to move in.
Okay, Chunky, you're up.
Chunky starts digging, leaving a trail of dust behind. The other rats follow. Once tunneled under the fence, he pops his head out of the hole and takes a quick look around. He waves to signal the coast is clear. The rest of the rat pack make their way onto the CP farm grounds. Rudy gives the sign, and without losing a step, the rats pull out giant sacks from their pockets, taking ripe tomatoes off their vines, yanking mouth-watering blueberries from their bushes, and picking juicy oranges from their trees.
Don't forget that prize mint,
whispers Rudy. They hurry to fill their sacks and make their way back to the exit hole. Rudy rallies his pack.
Hurry up, rats. We don't have much time.
Suddenly, out of the shadows, a hulking Captain Pump emerges and stands over Rudy the Rat.
No, Rat. You are out of time.
Ah!
Screams Rudy. The rats panic and scatter every which way, leaving their sacks of goodies behind. High in the trees, the pumpster patrollers wait for the signal.
Now!
Yells the captain. Spotlights light up the garden and the ruthless rats run wild. The pumpster patrollers throw giant nets from the trees, trapping most of the rat pack. The ground troops secure the thieves while they squirm under the netting, looking for a way out. Meanwhile, Chunky and a few other greasy goons are led away by pumpster patrollers. Rudy makes a run for it, trying to get to the exit hole.
Oh no, Rudy, you're not getting away that easily,
says Captain Pump. Rudy the Rat reaches the fence and swan dives into the exit hole. Captain Pump, hot on his long skinny tail, reaches down into the hole, puts a vice grip around Rudy's neck, and plucks him out of the hole like a feather off a chicken.
Hey, not so rough. You're pinching my fur.
You're lucky that's all I'm pinching. How dare you come and steal our fruits and vegetables?
Our farmers work hard to make sure we grow the very best,
says a fuming captain.
We know, squeaks the rat. Why do you think we want them so badly? We're tired of eating scraps. I mean, look at me, I'm skin and bones. Please, we are desperate. Help us become healthy.
The captain looks Rudy square in the eye, takes a second to think, then gently places him on the ground.
Stealing our food is not the way to becoming healthy. Letting us teach you how to grow your own food is, says Captain Pump.
We're rats. We can't grow things. It's not in our nature,
states Rudy the rat.
Neither is looking healthy,
answers Captain Pump.
You have a point there. We're just tired of always digging through trash and eating out of garbage cans. How could anyone be healthy eating that way?
You can't. So let us show you how to grow your own fruits and vegetables so you can start to save the day the healthy way.
Deal. And thanks for not, doing more than just pinching my fur,
the captain chuckles.
Come on, let's show you and your colleagues how to plant a garden.
The captain gives the sign for his pumpster patrol to lift the nets, releasing Rudy's rat pack. Captain Pump pulls out his giant hoverboard.
Everyone, climb aboard, says the captain.
The rat pack hops on. Seconds later, they sail over the trees of the deep pumpland forest until they reach a ravine next to the flowing stream.
This is going to be great. Finally, we will be able to eat good food and not garbage anymore.
That's the point, Rudy. When you grow and make your own food, you always know what you are putting in your body. And that is how you save the day the healthy way.
I concur, Captain,
says Rudy.
We can plant herbs too, like, mint?
Of course. There is nothing better than fresh herbs like basil, cilantro, and mint from your own garden.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Captain,
says Rudy as they come in for a landing. They jump off the hoverboard. Captain Pump opens a secret compartment filled with shovels, rakes, and hoes. The rats each grab a gardening tool and start clearing an area by the stream. Some turn the soil, some bring in pails of water from the nearby stream. Others dig rows of small holes. Captain Pump throws a handful of seeds in each one. Rudy quickly fills the hole, and another rat pours water on it.
These are green beans. These are peppers. Over here we have zucchini, some lettuce, and my favorite, carrots,
says the captain.
Oh, I love carrots too,
says Rudy.
How about fruits?
Sure. How about we plant some blueberries, strawberries, and tomatoes?
My favorite,
yells an excited Rudy.
Wait, a tomato is a fruit?
Asks one of the rats.
Yep, it's packed with good stuff like fiber, potassium, and vitamin C for your body to thrive on,
answers the captain.
Thanks, Captain Pump. You're all right,
says Rudy.
Don't let me down, Rudy. And more importantly, don't let yourself and your friends down. If you take care of this garden and make sure you feed it with the water from the stream, you will always have fresh and healthy food to eat. And you won't have to steal from others again,
says the captain in a stern but friendly way.
Got it, Captain Pump. Next time you see us, we will be buff and healthy rats. Thanks again,
says Rudy. Captain Pump jumps on his hoverboard and takes off. The rats wave to the captain and continue planting their rat pack garden. The captain disappears into the pumpland sky.
Chapter 9, After the Field Trip.
Back in the real world, the big yellow bus pulls up in front of the school. Principal Barklot oversees the kids as they pile off the bus. Seconds later, George drives up the back way into the schoolyard and parks the scooter where he found it. Breathing a sigh of relief, he walks in but runs into Ashley at the back door.
George, says Ashley.
Hi, Ashley,
he answers.
How was the zoo?
It was fun. The kids had a blast.
That's good. I'm glad everything went well.
Yeah, me too.
As Ashley turns to leave, she stops and looks back at George.
George, do you have a twin? She asks.
Not that I know of,
cautiously answers George.
Well, I swear I saw a man who looks exactly like you pulling out of a gas station near the zoo on a mini scooter.
Can you believe that? Laughs Ashley. George poker-faced replies.
That's funny.
Did you fix the boiler? She asks.
Yeah, it's as good as new, he replies.
Well, at least you won't have Principal Barklot on your case about it anymore.
Oh, I am sure there will be something else soon enough,
answers George. Anyway, too bad you couldn't come. Maybe next time. See you, George.
Ashley continues down the hall. Captain Pump pops out of the magic comic book in George's back pocket.
You better tell her soon,
says the mini superhero.
Are we on this again?
I don't know what the big deal is,
says Captain Pump.
She is going to find out sooner or later.
No, she won't, insists George.
Wanna bet? Says Captain Pump.
Can we just drop it, please? Asks George.
She's on to you. And you know what happens when someone's on to you?
No, what?
They don't stop until they find out the truth.
So you're saying that she knows that I am holding something back from her?
Worse, she doesn't know it. She feels it.
But what do I know? I'm just a pesky mosquito, remember?
See you later, George.
Captain Pump dives back into the magic comic book.
She feels it,
mumbles George sarcastically as he sneezes again.
Achoo!
George reaches in his back pocket for his hanky, but it's not there. He then remembers leaving it on the scooter and goes outside to retrieve it. Through her classroom window, Ashley sees George pick up the hanky off the scooter's handlebars. Chapter 10, Busted by a Hanky. The school bell rings. It's the end of the school day. The students hurry to the waiting school buses as Ashley sees Miss Knotts through her classroom window, standing puzzled, looking at the same scooter from which George retrieved his handkerchief. Ashley goes out to see Miss Knotts, who continues to examine the scooter.
Everything okay, Miss Knotts? Asks Ashley.
I am not sure. It looks to me like something very heavy was on my scooter. The seat is flattened and the wheels have dirt on them too. I never drive my Annabelle on dirt roads,
says Miss Knotts.
But maybe an oversized janitor would,
mutters Ashley. Don't worry, Miss Knotts. I will get to the bottom of this. She storms off back into the school. Miss Knotts stands by her scooter, confused. Ashley continues barreling down the hallway. She reaches George's janitorial room and flings the door open. Startled, George spills his shake on his now soiled Sunday overalls. The mild-mannered English teacher lashes out at him at full voice.
Okay, George, spill it!
I just did, again.
I'm not talking about your shake. You know what I'm talking about.
George sits there like a deer in the headlights.
What do you mean, Ashley?
He quietly replies.
Don't play dumb with me. It was you I saw at the gas station today, wasn't it?
George lowers his eyes, then slowly lifts them to meet Ashley's.
Yes, it was me.
Ashley looks at George in disappointment.
Why did you lie to me, George? I thought we were friends.
George reflects, takes a deep breath, and says,
Ashley, I'm going to tell you something, but you have to promise me you won't think I'm crazy.
Why would I think that, George? I mean, it's not like you're going to tell me you have an imaginary friend or something, right?
What is it, George?
The trusted custodian swallows nervously and begins to tell Ashley the story of Captain Pump.
You remember when I told you a while ago that the kids were all right and didn't need our help?
Yes, I was very disappointed to hear you say that.
I know. And what I said wasn't true. I mean, they need a lot of help. But the good thing is, I found a way to help them.
Or maybe he found me, questions George.
George, you are not making any sense. Just tell me the truth.
I have an imaginary friend.
Ashley bursts out laughing.
Oh, George, you are so funny. Thank you, George, says Ashley. I appreciate your honesty, but...
It's true, confirms George.
Captain Pump jumps out of the magic comic book.
What are you doing, George? I told you to tell your feelings, not your secrets.
You told me to be honest, so I am.
Who are you talking to, George? Asks Ashley.
His name is Captain Pump, and he lives in a magical place where everyone is fit and healthy.
Stop it, George, says the captain.
No, I have to be honest.
Okay, so be honest then, George, please,
pleads Ashley.
I am, insists George. Here, look for yourself.
George pulls the magic comic book from his back pocket and opens it up for Ashley to see.
Oh no! You're going to regret this, George.
The captain frantically disappears back into the now open book. The scrolling frames on the pages show Mr. Blunt taking off his safari hat and fixing his toupee. Myron walking on a treadmill with Willow standing next to him, Zack and Guido doing push-ups in the gym, and Nathan showing Emma how to lift weights.
With this book, I can see what is going on here in real time.
Ashley goes through the pages with a puzzled look on her face.
So this is Captain Pump?
She says, pointing to the fitness marvel on the cover.
Yes, answers George. Look, I know it sounds crazy, but you have to believe me.
So none of us can see him, but you can, and you talk to each other?
Yes, please, Ashley, I'm not crazy. This is why I didn't tell you sooner.
I have to say, this is hard to believe, George.
Captain Pump flies out again and sits on George's shoulder.
Tell her I'm here, says the captain.
No, go away,
says George. Ashley looks strangely at George and takes a step back.
No, not you, Ashley. I was talking to Captain Pump. He said to tell you that he is here.
Ashley takes another step back. George, you have to get professional help.
Ashley, I am not crazy. See what you started,
says George to the captain.
Me? I'm not the one who blew the secret.
Of course you are a secret. You don't exist to anyone else but me,
yells George. Ashley is frightened as George continues to apparently argue with himself. I better get going, George, she says as she continues to back out of his office.
Please, Ashley, you have to believe me. That is the honest truth, and I really want to help the kids. Please, Ashley, keep this between us, and I promise I will prove to you that everything I just told you is 100% true.
Ashley hesitates, then answers, I'm sorry, George. This is too far-fetched, even for me. If you don't seek help, I will have no choice but to turn you into Miss Barkalot. George is stunned by Ashley's response.
Okay, I understand.
He says sadly, give me the book, George.
No, don't you dare,
says Captain Pump with authority.
No matter what, you can't lose the book.
George looks up at the worried captain, then looks at Ashley and reluctantly hands her the magic comic book.
No!
Yells the mini superhero who dives into the book.
You don't know what you have just done, George!
Echoes from deep inside the magic pages.
Thank you, George. You made the right choice.
Ashley leaves with the magic comic book. George sits alone in his broom closet office.
Sorry, little buddy,
sadly says George to his little friend Captain Pump. Chapter 11, The Big Mistake. Back in Pumpland, Captain Pump flies at full speed towards the CP Tower and disappears as its lid flips open. He rushes to meet with Pumpland's top scientists.
Captain, we have located the magic comic book.
Great. Tell me where it is, and I will go get it.
It is in the possession of a Miss Ashley Johnson, teacher at the county public school in the real world.
Yes, I know all that. I was there when George gave it to her.
So, I'll just go get it back.
Well, unfortunately, Captain, it is not that easy. We understand you want to retrieve the magic comic book, but with all due respect, sir, it won't be possible.
And why not? Asks the muscled fitness superhero.
Captain, the book is programmed to allow travel to and from the real world.
Great, that's where I need to go, the real world.
Yes, however, the magic portal can only be accessed when the book is in the possession of your chosen real world representative.
What? Who designed it that way?
You did, Captain. As a safety measure, sir.
Oh, I see. Well, nobody's perfect.
I'm sorry, Captain, but George Basner must retrieve the comic book in order for you to resume travel between the two worlds. Otherwise, in the hands of anyone else, the magic comic book is nothing more than a regular comic book.
Captain Pump shakes his head in disgust.
What did he do?
Back in the real world, a dejected George sits in the bleachers as Willow runs sprints. Myron follows, looking exhausted. On the other side of the field, Nathan helps Emma do pull-ups.
Come on, Emma, just a few more, says Nathan.
Ah, I am going to pass that state fitness test,
she screams, pulling herself up to the bar. Meanwhile, not far away in a small house on the other side of town, Ashley sits in her living room pondering what to do about George. Her phone rings. The Captain Pump comic book sits on her coffee table. She answers.
Hello, Miss Johnson. This is Nurse Placebo. I just want to let you know that George came by to see me. He said you thought he should.
Yes, he has been acting very strange. I'm afraid he may have really hurt his head when he fell off that ladder, says Ashley.
Well, I checked him out and everything seems to be fine, replies the nurse.
Are you sure? Because he seems to be hallucinating and talking to himself a lot, says Ashley.
Well, I prescribe plenty of rest and he should be good as new in the morning.
Okay. Thank you, Nurse Placebo. Ashley hangs up and ponders further as she looks at the Captain Pump comic book still sitting on her coffee table.
Meanwhile, back at the school, George wonders if he has made a big mistake. Later that night, Ashley is sitting in her living room correcting papers when the CP comic book catches her eye. She tries to ignore the temptation, but her curiosity gets the better of her. She reaches across the table, grabs the comic book, and examines the cover of Captain Pump.
He sure does look like a younger George.
With hair. She chuckles to herself. Okay, let's see this magic comic book. Ashley opens it to find just a regular comic book. No scrolling frames, no scenes in real time, and no captain flying through its pages.
Such nonsense. A magic comic book? Magic my foot.
Back at the school, George works late into the night. The captain's words,
"Don't ever let the book out of your sight,"
echo in George's ear. He waxes the floor in the hallway. Tears pour down his face, forming a puddle on the freshly polished floor. Meanwhile, Ashley continues to stare at the cover, growing more and more angry, wondering why George lied to her about the comic book being magic. She abruptly tosses the comic book into the trash, turns off the lights, and heads off to bed. A few hours later, Ashley is fast asleep when she is awoken by a strange rattling sound. She springs from her bed and hurries to the living room. She looks around, then peers down at the discarded comic book in the trash. The noise abruptly stops. Ashley turns off the light and goes back to bed. Chapter 12. Dreams Do Come True. Meanwhile, back in Pumpland, Captain Pump sits at his control desk in his Carrot headquarters. He rewinds his real-world recorder and presses the play button. Through his monitor, he watches George hand Ashley the magic comic book. Then, the screen fades to black. The defeated superhero sadly shuts off the real-world monitor, pulls the plug, and wipes a tear from his eye. His dog Pupster comes to console him.
"It's okay, puppy. At least we have each other," says the captain to his loyal friend.
As the sun sets in Pumpland, a lifeless Captain Pump takes his dog Pupster for a walk around the neighborhood as dozens of Pumpland residents work out at the CP gym, while several others ride their bikes through the streets or shoot hoops and play in the parks and playgrounds.
"No matter what, we sure do live in a healthy place, little buddy."
Pupster looks at the captain and barks in agreement. As the captain and Pupster continue their stroll through the neighborhood, they stop in front of one of the newly constructed eggplant buildings. The eye-catching purple structure looks desolate and empty. The captain lowers his head and continues walking. Pupster stops in his tracks. The captain calls, but Pupster won't budge.
"Come on, let's go,"
he says to his little buddy. Pupster looks at the captain and barks again and again. Then he turns to the eggplant building and stares. Captain Pump looks over and sees a light coming from a room on the top floor. He starts up the walkway towards the illuminated eggplant building. Pupster follows in tow. The front door is slightly ajar. The captain cautiously pushes it open and looks back at Pupster.
"Wait here, little buddy. I'll be right back."
As the captain walks in, the light coming from an upstairs room shuts off. He continues walking down the pitch-black hallway. Suddenly, he hears a noise coming from another room on the main floor. Turning the corner, he sees a light shining from under the door in a room in the very back on the main floor. He pumps up his chest, cracks his knuckles, throws open the door, and freezes on the spot. His posture goes from defensive to inviting. His eyes turn from ice picks to warm apples and cinnamon, and his face again lights up like a Christmas tree. In front of him stands the most striking woman he has ever seen. Shuffling through a library of books, she is dressed in a purple superhero outfit with a gold choker necklace, wristbands, and purple boots. Her toned and athletic body is perfectly framed by her long black purple highlighted hair.
"It's you," says a bashful captain.
"Oh, hi," responds the fit and strong woman nonchalantly.
"Sorry, I hope you don't mind. The door was open, so I let myself in. I think this room is a great place for a library, don't you? And over here would make a wonderful yoga area, and over here I see..."
"Is this a dream?" asks the captain.
"Well, are you asleep?" says the fit girl.
"No, I am very much awake," says the captain.
"I guess it's not a dream then," she responds.
"Where did you come from?" asks the fitness guru. "Didn't you have a dream about me? Since dreams can come true if you want them badly enough."
"Here I am. I did dream about you. I even had my team try and create you."
"In a lab?" she asks. The captain nods.
"You can't make feelings and emotions in a lab."
She laughs.
"I know that now," says the fitness wonder.
"I sure have a lot to teach you, Captain Pump," says the fit girl.
"How do you know my name?"
"You're not the only one who has dreams," says the fit girl.
Captain Pump smiles as his excitement builds. This is better than a dream, because no matter how good your dream is, when you wake up, the vision is gone. But you are here, and I am awake, and this is real! And you are amazing!
Yells Captain Pump.
Why, thank you. It's almost like a spirit thing, she says.
That's what you are.
A spirit thing. You are a spirit girl.
I kinda like that, she says.
Then that's who you will be. From now on, you are Pumpland's spirit girl, announces Captain Pump.
I'm a fitness superhero. I'm a winner, not a zero. I'm a smart senorita. I'm a flying fashionista. I'm a toughy young lady. That's a yes and not a maybe. I believe in all I'm doing. Being fit is worth pursuing. Time for change is here. And that is very clear. We all need to work together so we can all then live healthy forever. I'm here, girl, and I'm here for you no matter where you are in the world. I'm here, girl, and I'm here with you to get you fit so you can rule your world. Come on! I'm here, girl, and I'm here for you no matter where you are in the world. I'm here, girl, and I'm here with you to get you fit so you can rule your world. I'm here, girl, here, girl, here, girl, here, girl. I'm spirit girl.
A spirit girl who will teach us about feelings and emotions.
Really? Says spirit girl.
You know, I can teach you just as much about training and living healthy as I can feelings and emotions.
Girls are strong and can do anything boys can do.
Got it, Mr. Pump?
That is fine with me, Spirit Girl. You can teach us about anything you want,
affirms the captain.
I can use a good spotter in the gym too,
says a smiling superhero.
The captain continues. This building is perfect for you, and I agree it will make a great yoga studio and library.
It even matches your outfit, adds the smitten superhero.
Thank you, Captain. I picked it out myself, she says. You did? Answers Captain Pump, surprised.
Yes, an eggplant just happens to be my favorite vegetable too. But this is not just another building.
It's a special place. It's a special house, says Spirit Girl.
Yes, it is. It is the perfect house.
We can call it, let's see, Spirit Girl chimes in.
How about the House of Spirit?
I love it!
We will make the announcement in the morning.
I am so happy! Woohoo!
Screams an elated Captain Pump. Pupster barks from the porch,
and Christina the Bluebird chirps away as she flies by.
And who is this handsome boy? Asks Spirit Girl.
This is Pupster. He is my partner in crime.
Well, I hope you will have room for another partner in crime.
Captain Pump turns red as a tomato.
You're making me blush.
That's the idea, says Spirit Girl as she winks at him.
A few minutes ago, I was having the worst day ever. And now it has turned into the best one ever.
I have to go and plan this huge announcement. We will have to have a party too.
The captain grabs Pupster and flies into the Pumpland sky.
She is real!
He screams as he soars over the wonderful world of Pumpland.
The only thing missing is my buddy George.
We have to find a way to get back to the real world. But how?
The end. Captain's Corner.
Wow, things are really heating up. First of all, let's talk about Pumpland's new addition, Spirit Girl. She is awesome, and I can't wait for you to get to know her. She is the world's first female fitness superhero, too, and has so much to teach us. I can't wait for the next chapter in our adventure. Now, as for Guido and Zack, they are very different people, but they are also very similar in a lot of ways. They both hate to lose and love to win, which is not a bad thing as long as you can both lose and win with class. What does that mean, you ask? A sore loser gets mad and upset when they lose, and a sore winner over-celebrates and throws it in their opponent's face when they win. Nobody likes a sore loser or a sore winner. Win and lose with class. Control your emotions and respect. Remember that one from book one? Your opponent. Play by the rules. Don't cheat. And most importantly, don't put yourself or anyone else in danger. Those lions would have had a field day if those two boys would have fallen in their pit. It's a good thing Willow was paying attention to her surroundings. That is very important, you know. Don't be distracted and always pay attention to what you are doing.
headsets and cell phones are fun, but can also be very distracting and can keep you from paying attention to what is going on around you. So be careful. Got it? Rudy the Rat and the Rat Pack learned a good lesson, too. Stealing is wrong. Now that they know how to plant their own garden, they can grow their own fruits and vegetables. This is a great way to save the day the healthy way. We'll see if they go from scrawny to brawny. Now, what are we going to do about George? How are we going to get back to the real world? Ashley threw the magic comic book in the trash. She thinks George is lying to her, or worse, that he really did hurt his head when he fell off the ladder before I came along. Remember that? We know better, but Ashley doesn't. This is awful. I have to somehow get a message to her. I have to find someone to tell Ashley to give George the book back. Otherwise, if he doesn't get it back, this may be the end. But this can't be the end. We have so many more adventures and things to learn together. We have so many other friends to help and foes to defeat. So much is happening in Pumpland. We were just blessed with a spirit girl. She certainly made quite the impression on Pupster, too. It's going to be great to have a house of spirit with Spirit Girl in the house. But Pumpland isn't the same without my buddy George. And I really miss my real-world visits, too. But we can't travel back and forth unless we get the magic comic book back from Ashley. We have to get the magic comic book back. It's up to me to get that book back. I will have to put my thinking cap on and come up with a solution. Don't worry, my Pumpster friends. I will find one. Captain's Gym. You didn't think you were going to get away without your next fitness lesson, did you? So how are you doing with your exercising so far? Did you follow the exercise programs in books 1 and 2? Good job if you did. If you didn't, you better go back and have a look. You have some catching up to do. Are you moving your body for 60 minutes a day? Remember what my favorite ways to move are? Running and jumping. Let's get to it. Run, jump, and keep moving your body so it will be strong just like mine and the rest of us here in Pumpland. For those of you who kept up and did the exercise routines in books 1 and 2, here are your next exercises. Workout 1. Move your body for at least 60 minutes a day. It's so important. Now, let's add a few things. Workout 2. Along with your push-ups, sit-ups, squats, jump in waves, and frog jumps, here are some new and cool exercises you can do to keep getting fit so you can save the day the healthy way. 1. Frog jump run. This is so cool. Here you will get to combine my favorite exercise and Willow's favorite exercise at the same time. Do you know what that is? Start by getting into a frog jump position. If you don't know what that is, you better go look at Captain's Gym at the end of book 2. For all of you who have done the exercises in books 1 and 2, here we go. Get into your start position. When you are ready, jump. Then when you land, take off running as fast as you can for 5 seconds. You can run pretty far in 5 seconds. This is going to get you in great shape, just like me. To get the best results, do this exercise 10 times. Make sure you have a safe place to run and always be aware of your surroundings. The key is always to play safe. There are so many amazing places that you can exercise outdoors too. Parks and playgrounds and even your own backyard are amazing places for you to run and play safely. Oh, and remember to put on that sunscreen or make sure you wear a hat and gloves if it happens to be winter where you are. 2. Jump squats. This exercise is amazing. You get to practice jumping and squatting at the same time, making your legs strong and powerful. If you forgot how to do a squat, go back to the end of book 1 where I describe it in detail. Okay, start in a standing position. Then when you jump, go right into a squat. Then jump back into your standing start position. Do this 10 times. Cool? Now when you get good at these jump squats, you can combine all 3 workouts to make one big one. I know you can do it. After all, you are a Pumpster in training. So now that you have been doing all these exercises separately, I think it's time we created your very own complete workout by putting all the exercises we learned in one giant routine. This is the Captain's Complete Workout. Captain's Complete Workout. 1. Squats. 2. Push-ups. 3. Sit-ups. 4. Jump and wave. 5. Frog jumps. 6. Frog jump run. 7. Jump squats. Do each exercise as many times as you can and make sure you do this routine on a regular basis and you will become fit, healthy, and strong. This, along with eating well and practicing good personal hygiene, like brushing your teeth and washing your hands, is the recipe for saving the day the healthy way.
Hey kids, Captain Pump here with a little message. Captain's Cupboard.
How are you doing with those 3 servings of vegetables today, my little pumpsters? Eating fresh is always best, like we do here in Pumpland. There is nothing better than a fresh, crisp apple or celery stick. It is so good for you and tastes great, too. Remember, to build a healthy body, you have to put healthy food in it. Your muscles need protein to grow, and your brain needs carbohydrates to think and make good choices. And yes, it even needs a little bit of fat from foods like nuts and meats. Make sure you are drinking enough thirst-quenching water, too. It is what your body needs most to stay hydrated and healthy. Your body is your friend for life. It will be with you wherever you go and wherever you are. So always treat your body with respect, and it will be your best friend for life. To save the day the healthy way, you must eat good, wholesome, nutritious foods like fresh fruits and vegetables. Don't cheat yourself, treat yourself to good, wholesome, fresh, and healthy food so you can grow up to be healthy and strong, and you'll never go wrong. By now, you know what a good, wholesome diet is, don't you? It's eating a balanced diet, but that doesn't mean you can't have some sweets. Just don't eat too many, like Freddy Fudge does. He and his sugar bandits are on the wrong path. Eating that much sugar will put your brain and body to sleep. Just like our friend Boris the Mountain Cat. Remember him from Book 2? Freddy Fudge doesn't understand how important it is to eat a healthy diet. I have a feeling we haven't seen the last of him yet. But you know better, right? You know what will keep your body strong and healthy, and I know that you want to be a healthy and strong pumpster. And that, my friends, is how you will save the day the healthy way. Captain's final words. Lastly, remember, I encourage you to help each other, and don't be afraid to ask for help. Look what's happening with Emma, Guido, and Myron. Nathan and Willow are helping them exercise and train so they can get fit and pass that state fitness exam that will be coming up soon. Do you think they will pass? I hope so, because Emma will freak out if she doesn't. I am sure they will do great because they have help, and they are working hard every day towards achieving their goal as a team. What are you working towards? Are you doing it every day? Do you have a goal? It's important to have one. That way you know what you are working towards. I can't wait to see you succeed. I know you will because you are special, and as long as you believe in yourself, you can make anything happen. I know because I was just like you when I was your age. Take it one day at a time and keep working towards your goal every day. That's the key. Stay on track and always do your best. In Pumpland, we strive to always do our best. That is how you will continue to improve and become better at everything you do. Finally, always be fair and respect those around you, and you will thrive just like we do here in Pumpland. Well, that's it for now. Until we meet again, my pumpster friend, this is Captain Pump, your fitness superhero, signing off. And remember, save the day the healthy way.
Captain Pump, he saves the day the healthy way. Captain Pump.